right. Thank you so much. Appreciate your listening to them. And they did a great job singing that, didn't they? Sometimes we're not really sure what we're supposed to do after a special or something like that. So let me just let you know. Here at West Branch, we won't clap for the special music. And if you do back home at your church, well, that's certainly up to you. But here at West Branch, we just listen. And I can tell you exactly what you do when they're finished. You just go like this. And give them a smile. And that way they know that you liked it. And you can actually cheat and do that earlier than it's over. You can do that while they're singing. And you don't want to be silly, but you can just smile at them. And I love to hear our staff sing. They do a fantastic job. And didn't the choir do a great job tonight? Man, that was great. And I tell you what, choir helps the service be fantastic. And we're going to have a choir all week long, but that's the last time you're going to hear our staff choir. The rest of the week, we are going to have a camper choir, and that means that you can join in on the camper choir. How many of you have done that before in other years? You're part of it. Good. We have a lot of veterans, and we have some folks that will get to be new this year and join the choir, and that'll be great. So what will happen is, tomorrow after lunch, you get a choice. You can go back to your cabin, sit on your bunk, wait through rest period. It lasts about 7 days. Or you can come here to the auditorium, and you can be with Mr. Glenn, the man who led the singing tonight. And you can learn a song. You say, I don't know if I can learn a song like they sang. It won't be like that. It'll be simple. It'll be easy peasy. And you'll be able to learn it fast. And then at night, right before the service starts, you get a chance to remember what it is all like. And then you'll come up here, stand up here. And at the beginning of the service, you'll get to sing. And you'll be in the service tomorrow night. So how many of you think you would like to be part of the choir this week? Good. That's an excellent start. And I hope that we will have even more that will join tomorrow when we announce that at rest period. Something else that you can do this week that is special, you can memorize 4 Bible verses and receive a certificate to become an honorary wrangler of West Branch. That means you'll go home and be able to say, Mother, Father, look at this certificate. I excelled and I achieved at camp and I got a certificate. And they'll be very impressed. And you will know that it really wasn't even that hard. But you don't have to tell them that. You just tell them it was really something that I got a certificate. And then you can go home and they will think that is fantastic that you memorized some verses from the Bible. So I think you could do that. How many of you have ever memorized a verse before? Raise your hand if you ever memorized a verse. All right, everybody look right this way. Wake that kid up right back there. All right, good. Next to you, Mr. Raymond. Wake him up. Good, thank you. All right, everybody repeat after me. John 11:35. Jesus wept. Now say it all together. John 11:35, Jesus wept. Okay, you just memorized a verse. How many of you have ever memorized a verse before? Everybody has. So now you can memorize the other 4 verses this week. You say, are they that short? No. They're not that short, but they're not too bad. And you'll hear about them in your cabin tonight. You'll hear about them in Bible Basic Training. We call it BBT tomorrow. And then you'll just be able to say it to your counselor and it'll be like, no big deal. So that'll be great. And for every person that is in choir all week, and every person that memorizes all your verses, points for your cabin of the week. So that'll help out your cabin as well. So it's going to be a fantastic week. Now, if you have anything in your lap right now besides your Bible, or maybe you're supposed to take notes, if that's okay, as long as you're taking notes about the message, not about that cute boy or that cute, no, that doesn't happen either. Okay. If you have anything besides your Bible, like a toy or an elephant or whatever it is, stick it under your seat right now. Put it out of the way. So you should just have your Bible out tonight. And if you got that taken care of, how many of you have a Bible tonight? If you do, raise it real high. Raise it as high as you can. Don't stand up or reach it all the way to the ceiling. If you can reach it all the way to the ceiling, look at that. Oh, that is fantastic. I love to see all these Bibles. I didn't say anything about putting it down. Put it high, put it high. It's great. And if you forgot your Bible tonight, maybe bring it tomorrow. And if you don't have a Bible but want to borrow one this week, we'll let you do that too. Now take your Bible down into your lap. And I want you to find the Gospel of John. It's in the New Testament. So find all the books that have red in them. A lot of your Bibles have red letters. That's the New Testament. And then find Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John is the fourth one in the New Testament. As soon as you find John, find chapter 5. John 5. As soon as you find John 5, find verse 24. And as soon as you find that verse, take your finger and put it right on top of the 24, and then look right at me. As soon as you find it and got your finger on the 24, look right up here. You guys are pretty fast. I'm impressed. All right. Now, before we look at the verse, I want to tell you a couple things. This will help you to listen really well in the service if you'll do two things. Make sure, first of all, that you sit up real good and straight. That'll help you stay alert. Number two, make sure that unless we are reading a verse in the Bible, you look up at Mr. Troy. That'll help you. I know it's hard to look at somebody so ugly as Mr. Troy, but you'll endure. So if you will sit up and you will look up, it's going to help you to listen up, because it's not just Mr. Troy talking tonight. You'll hear my voice, but we are trying to listen to what God has to say. Now, I'm not God, but God wrote this book, the Bible. And so when we read what God says, we are hearing what God says, and God can speak to our hearts to help us to understand. Now look down at your 24. And without opening your mouth at all, just follow along while I read the verse. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Look right this way. Did you have a good trip to get here? Yeah. I hope that you did. How many of you rode on a van? How many of you rode in a car? How many of you rode in a minivan? How many of you rode on a motorcycle? Yeah, I don't really believe it. How many of you rode in a truck? All right, a few of you rode in a truck to get here. That's great. How many of you rode in something that I have not named, like a Toyota or something like that? Okay. You know, there's lots of different ways that you can get to camp, but coming to camp is taking a trip. Maybe you took a trip from Phoenix. Maybe you took a trip from Yuma. Maybe you took a trip from California, almost to the ocean. Yeah, I heard there's a couple people who came here to camp from Idaho to join their group. That's pretty far to come to camp. When you take a trip, it's when you go from one place to another. Today, maybe you went from Camp Verde to West Branch, or Phoenix to West Branch, or maybe you went from Long Beach to West Branch, or you came from Safford or San Carlos to West Branch, or you came from Wilcox, or you came from Marana to West Branch. You took a trip. Now listen, in this verse that we read tonight, the Bible tells us about a completely different type of trip. It's not talking about a city to a camp. It's talking about one place spiritually that all of us are born into, to another place where we can know for sure that we will go to heaven when we die. And it was mentioned in this verse towards the end of the verse, it says, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but here it is, but is passed from death unto life. That's like a trip. That's like getting from one place to another. But in this case, it's not from a city to a camp. It's not from a town to your grandma's house. It's not from your house to the grocery store. It's from the place that all of us are born into, and that is the place the Bible calls death, into a place where God wants us all to be, and that is a place where we have eternal life. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 John 5. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And that's talking about how you can know that you have moved from the place where you are condemned because of your sin to suffer eternal punishment from God, from the lake of fire, to where now you know that you've got eternal life and you're on your way to heaven. And that is the type of trip that every young person, every adult needs to make so that you say, I don't know if I'm saved, but now I do know that I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven, but now I know I'm going to heaven. I don't know if my sins are forgiven, but now I know my sins are forgiven. And you move from one place to the other, one group to the other, so that you know that someday when you die from this earth, that you'll make the ultimate trip straight to God's heaven to be with God forevermore. And that is a trip that I want to talk to you about tonight. So let's think about that, if you will. You need to make this trip. Now, two things about the trip. Number one, it's a one-way trip. Nobody ever starts being on their way to heaven and ends up on their way to hell. It never ends up like that. All of us are born into this world, the Bible says, as sinners. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that when babies come into this world, they speak lies. Now, you might think that sounds weird because you think, well, babies can't even talk. Well, they might not be able to talk, but they learn really quick that if they will cry in certain ways, it will get their parents or mom, their dad, maybe a grandma or grandpa to do something for them. And so they cry. And so mom or dad thinks, oh, no, they're hungry. They're not hungry. And they cry and say, oh, no, they need a diaper. They don't need a diaper. And they cry, oh, no, they're hurt. They're not hurt. What are they doing? They're just lying. They're just saying, I want attention. I don't like my life right now. I want you to pick me up and make me happier in my life. And they're lying. And you know, the truth is that all of us come into this world and we lie naturally. We do all sorts of other sins, breaking God's laws, breaking God's commandments, breaking God's rules, and we do it naturally. All of us, every one of us. But God says he wants to forgive those sins. God says he can cleanse those sins. God says he can wash those sins away and bury them in the deepest sea, separate them from you as far as the east is from the west, and take you from the place where you are on your way to punishment for your sins to a place where your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. And that's the only way it ever goes. Nobody ever goes from life to death, not spiritually. You only ever go from the place where you are a sinner and you deserve judgment, but God saves you and now you have eternal life and you're on your way to heaven. That's the only direction it ever goes. It is a one-way trip, and you never go back. Now, I hate to break this to you, but your trip to camp, it's not a one-way trip. You don't get to live here. We love you for about a week, and we love you after that too. But you'll go home to your house. You're going to make a return trip to your house. But when you go from being a sinner to being saved from your sin, that happens and it's done and it's forever. And it's all taken care of. It's like a one-way trip from sin to salvation so that you can know you're on your way to heaven. And it's all a matter of moving from being punished from your sins to being saved from your sins. Now, Jesus was the one talking in this verse. He said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Tonight, when we were singing the songs, remember the last one we sang? Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the truth. And Jesus Christ is the life. And we sang, "He's mine, mine, mine." Jesus said that in the Bible. Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So Jesus, listen, is the only way for you to get from the place where you're a sinner and that sin has to be punished to a place where you're forgiven. So the question is, why Jesus? How come Jesus? Why is he the one that can do it? And here's the reason. Jesus became a substitute for our sins when he died on the cross, so that since he died for our sins, we could have his life. Now, how many of you play on a sports team of any kind? Any of you play on a sports team? All right, how many of you have played on a baseball team? Played on a baseball team. All right, very good. How many of you have played on a football team? Played on a football team. Good, a lot of girls out there playing a football team. That's great. Not really. How many of you have played on a basketball team? Played on a basketball team before? Anybody played on a soccer team? Great. Anybody played on a lacrosse team? Yeah, I didn't think so. Okay. If you've played on a team, you know that when you play on a team, you have other teammates who may not be playing at the same time you are. Maybe your team has 10 people on it. But when you play basketball, you're only allowed to play with 5 at a time. And so the coach says, "These 5 people come on out and start the game." And so they go out there and they're running. They're doing amazing things, dribbling between their legs and all that, dunking behind their heads, all sorts of things that guys like you do, no doubt, on 2-foot rims. Anyway, you're out there, you're doing amazing in that basketball game, but then you get tired. And so the coach goes down to the bench and he says, "Hey, you, kid, I forget your name, but anyway, go in, number 42, and go in for number 34. And so 42 gets up off the bench. He trots over, and he says, "I'm supposed to go in for 34, and then the horn blows. Something like that. And so they stop the game, you know, the game stopped there. And 42 goes in, and 34 goes out. 42 is called a substitute. 42 went in and took the place of 34. So now he's playing while the other guy is resting. And that helps the team out. You get to have substitutes come in and out. You can do the same thing in soccer. You can do the same thing in baseball. You call it like a pinch hitter. Do the same thing in football. They run off field, run on the field, you know, that kind of substitutes. Okay, so that's how substitutes works for sports. But listen, much more importantly, I am a sinner, and I deserve God's judgment. But God does not want to judge me for my sin. And so Jesus came to this earth, and as a perfect person, perfect God, he took my place. And when he died on the cross, he was the substitute for my sin's punishment. He took my place so that I could have his place. Did you know that when I die from this earth, I will not have to be punished for my sins? Because Jesus was the substitute for it. But I get to go to heaven because that's what I got in the trade. I gave to Jesus my sins' punishment. He gave to me eternal life. That's a pretty good deal. And that all happens because Jesus is perfect and Jesus took my place when he died on the cross. It's a pretty fantastic deal is what it is. Now, you say, well, here's my question. How could Jesus give me eternal life if Jesus died? I was talking to a kid one time And he said, Jesus didn't really die, did he? I said, well, yeah, he did. What do you mean? He's like, well, I thought Jesus is alive. Well, I got breaking news for you. This is amazing. You ready for this? Jesus did die, but now he's alive. Because Jesus is amazing. Jesus can do things that nobody else can do. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that when Jesus was on this earth, that there were four different people that we know of that Jesus raised from the dead. The first time was a boy. The Bible tells us that his mother was following like the casket as they were carrying it through the town to bury him. Some type of table or something like that that he was on or he was in. And Jesus saw this going through the town, and he went up to this casket and he stopped and he touched this boy, and the boy came back to life. He raised him from the dead. In another case, somebody came to tell him that there was a girl who was sick and about to die. And before Jesus could even get there, the girl did die. Now that's sad, but Jesus just spoke a word and the girl was raised and she came back to life. That's the second person Jesus raised from the dead. A third time there was a man and he had died, and by the time Jesus got to his where they had buried him, he had been dead for 4 days. 4 days. And Jesus stood before the cave where he had been buried, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. So there was the boy, there was the girl, there was the man, and the fourth person that Jesus raised from the dead was Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. They took him down off the cross, they put him into a tomb, into a cave, and he laid there, his body dead for 3 days. And then on an early Sunday morning, Jesus raised himself from the dead. Because he's God. Because he's powerful. Because he's so powerful and so much life that he's the one who created the whole world. And he did that. He died for you, but he rose from the dead so that he could give you eternal life if you will receive the life he wants to give you. So you can be saved from your sin and go from sin to saved because of Jesus. And I want to tell you tonight that not only is it a one-way trip, but it's the only way to heaven. You know, we said the verse earlier, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now listen to this part. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you know that means nobody in the United States of America can get saved and be on their way to heaven except through Jesus. Nobody in South America can be on their way to heaven, have their sins forgiven, except through Jesus. Nobody in Asia, nobody in Europe, nobody in Australia, nobody anywhere in the world can be saved from their sin except through Jesus Christ. He's the only one. And so you must believe on him. That's what he said. Do you still have your Bible open? Look down at verse 24 again. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Look right this way. So if you hear what I say, that's what we're doing tonight. We're hearing what God said from the Bible, and believe on him that sent me. Now, who was the one who sent Jesus to this earth to die on the cross for our sins? Somebody raise your hand. Who sent him? God the Father. God sent Jesus, his son, to this earth so he could die on the cross for our sins. So here's the deal. If you will trust God because of Jesus to save you from your sins, then he will. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you drove a van or a car or a truck or whatever kind of vehicle? You were actually the driver of the vehicle to get here to camp. You drive? Okay. I'm seeing adults raise their hand. You didn't drive to come to camp? No? You didn't drive to come to camp? Somebody drove you? Who drove you? Okay. Who drove you? Okay. So this guy right here, he drove you. So his youth leader, he drove him to get him here to camp. So he said, what did he drive, a van? A car. So he said you could ride with him? Yeah. And so you got in the car? So you accepted his offer to ride with him? And you got here? But he got you here. That's how it works to get saved, too. Not riding in a car. But Jesus said, I can save you from your sin. Will you accept me? Will you trust what I did? Will you believe that I died on the cross for your sins? Will you accept me as your only way to heaven? And just like you would accept somebody to drive you somewhere, you accept Jesus to take you somewhere, and that somewhere is from death to life so that you can go to heaven someday. Jesus is the only one that can do that. Your mom and dad can't do it. Your mom and dad might be great. I'm all for them. But they can't get you to heaven. Your pastor can't do it. I bet you got a fantastic pastor, but he can't get you to heaven. Your camp counselor, you don't know yet, but your camp counselor is pretty awesome. But they can't get you to heaven. Your grandma or grandpa, you might say, this is the best person in the world I know. Can't get you to heaven. The only one that gets you to heaven is the one who died for you. And the one who raised himself from the dead. That's the one that can get you to heaven. That's the one that can take you from sin to saved if you will accept him. Now sit up really good and straighten your seat. I want to ask you a question, and I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to speak out loud. I just want you to think. Has there been a time in your life when you accepted God's offer for Jesus to save you from your sins because he died on the cross? For me, that happened when I was just a little kid. I heard all these things. I heard that I was a sinner. I heard that I couldn't save myself from my sin. I heard that Jesus died on the cross for me. I heard that he was buried, that he rose from the dead. And I heard that if I would trust him, he would save me from my sins. And when I was a little kid, I said, I want that. I want to know my sins are forgiven. I want to know I'm on my way to heaven. And so I trusted Jesus to be my Savior. And I just told God that. And I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I know I can't save myself from my sin. So I'm going to trust Jesus to do it for me because I know he died on the cross for me. I did. That's what I told God. And I'm just wondering, have you ever told God that? Have you ever said to God, God, I know I can't save me from sin, but I believe Jesus died for me, and I'm trusting Jesus to be my Savior. And you just decided to accept his offer. You just decided to trust him to be your Savior, and you told God that decision. If you never have, listen, why not this week? Why not tonight? You know, it really could be as simple as you just praying and talking to God and say, God, I know that I have been a sinner. I know that I can't save myself from my sin, but I believe Jesus died for me, and I want Jesus to save me. But you know, there's nothing in the whole world more important than making that decision. And you could make it on the very first night of camp. Isn't that amazing? And the whole rest of the week would be even better than it's already going to be if you've already decided to trust Jesus to be your Savior. Now, if you make that decision tonight, then I want to ask you, just tell a counselor. Back at the room, maybe at the basketball court, maybe your counselor is Mr. Weston, and you go up to Mr. Weston and say, oh, Mr. Weston, by the way, I asked Jesus to save me tonight in the service. He'd say, that's awesome. That's fantastic. He might even encourage you and tell you some things that you ought to know. It would be a help to you. Just let a counselor know. Maybe it's the guy who brought you. Maybe it's the lady who's with you in your cabin. Accept Jesus to be your Savior this week if you have not already done so. Would you? And when you do, you'll pass from death unto life. It's all done. So someday when you die from this life, You'll go to heaven. And you will not be punished forever in hell for your sins. That's a pretty good deal. Now sit up real good and straight. And let me ask you to close your eyes. But let me ask you not to lean forward. Just close your eyes. You can close your Bible if you want to. Now I'm going to ask a question tonight, just so I know. And I wonder how many guys, how many girls, their eyes are closed, you're not looking around. How many guys, how many girls would say, Mr. Troy, I have already asked Jesus to be my Savior sometime before tonight in my life. I've already trusted Jesus to be my Savior. If you have, would you just raise your hand as high as you can? That's great. Good. Put your hand down. Hey, if you have not and you could not raise your hand, trust Jesus to be your Savior this week. A whole lot of kids already have, and you might as well join the group. And you might as well trust Jesus to be your Savior this week. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share the gospel with these kids tonight. I pray that as they hear more and more throughout the week, it will become clear to them if they need to trust Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for any kids tonight who might need to talk to a counselor and just ask some questions. Or maybe there's some ready tonight and they say, I understand, and they just want to tell you right now that they're trusting Jesus to be your Savior. I pray that they would, and that they would not put it off. And help us to find out about it as well. And so, Lord, help us to have a great week of camp, and I pray that you'd help us to learn many, many more things as well. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.